Okay, good. Well, it's fantastic to be with you guys. And I love that worship. And I love the word that you brought, Julian, as well, about let hope arise. And, you know, that the reason we can do that is because we have a God who is so good. And there is no situation which is hopeless. When God is with us, who can be against us? If God is for us, what can man do? You know, and I just really feel that the Lord just wants us to take just a moment before I start, just to just reflect on his goodness and his love towards us, because he just wants our hearts to relax right now in his presence and just to say, to know that he's there. Let's open ourselves up to receive his blessing again right now, because the Lord's river of blessing is flowing from heaven this morning. His goodness is flowing towards you this morning. He loves you with a love that stretches hard in the heavens, the Bible tells us. He treats us better than we deserve. Come on. New this morning is his mercy for you. Every single one of us. Receive that. Live in that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your spirit, Lord God, that's poured out so abundantly in this age. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you, Father. Let every heart here right now just receive a fresh filling of your love, of your life, of your hope. And thank you that hope is arising, not only in our hearts, for our families and our lives, but for our friends and neighbors and work colleagues, for this nation, because of your blessings that are being poured out. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. Let's see if this clicker works. Look at that. All right. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. So, I'm going to be looking at The Blessed Life. And it's based on a book by a guy called Robert Morris. And I have a confession to make. I bought some copies to sell this morning. And you know, my wife wasn't here this weekend. I'm looking after four kids on my own. No, okay. No sympathy. No sympathy from the women anyway, because, you know. But my head was so full of things and making sure certain things got done that I forgot to go and pick up the books. So they will be here next week. So I encourage you to get one, because I found it to be a fantastic read, simple read, but very challenging read. Don't get it if you're comfortable. Only if you want to be uncomfortable. So let's kick off then. First things first, and look. What is a blessed life? Well, you read in Deuteronomy, in several places, that the Lord wants to bless us. You know, it's been in God's heart from the very beginning. When he chose Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. Through you, I'm going to bless the whole world. God's heart is to bless us this morning. That's good to know. And through you, he wants to bless every single person you meet. Every single person you know. That's a good thing to know as well. It's abundant blessing. And if you turn to chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, it's mentioned in four places. We'll just read the first one. It says in verse 27, you shall not forsake the Levite. That's the priest, I guess, in their terms. And they weren't given any inheritance in the land. They had no possession, no inheritance, no basis on which to build and to provide for themselves. So that the rest of the tribes had to provide for them. It said, you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, they may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Who wants all the works of their hands to be blessed? Let's face it, that's a silly question, Colin, isn't it? Really, it's a pretty stupid question, because actually, most sane people want all the work of their hands to be blessed. I want all the work of my hands to be blessed. And here's the Lord, as he's teaching his people, he's just brought them out of slavery, and here he's saying to them, I'm going to take you into a new land, and I want you to be blessed. And here's how you're going to be blessed. And he gives them things that they can do, practical things. Because often, you know, we get teaching on a Sunday morning about God's blessing. He said, come on, guys, be practical. What does it mean to receive the Lord's blessing? How do we go about it? Let's get to grips with it. And here is God being very practical with his people right at the very beginning. Really concrete stuff that actually they could nail and each one of them could understand and grab hold of the blessing of heaven. And you know, in the four times it's mentioned, because that kind of thing is mentioned four times in the book of Deuteronomy, that I'm going to bless the work of your hands. Everything you put your hand to, like Midas touch. You know, everything turns to gold. You know, four times he says it, and three times it's in the context of money and of giving. This is a bit dirty, isn't it? I'm not turning into a kind of, you know, health, wealth, prosperity preacher. But that's just the reality of what he says in Deuteronomy. Now, Robert Morris, the guy who wrote this book called The Blessed Life, he lays out a compelling argument to say that one of the most fundamental key ways in which we tap into the blessing of God is through generosity. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, actually, that makes sense. That makes sense because God's blessing is like a river. We're called River Church, which is, I love that name because wherever the river flows, there'll be life. I love that image. That's a powerful image. That's who we are. Wherever we go, we take life. It's a good thing to speak over your own life right now, you know. You can say that to yourself. Declare it over your own life. Say, wherever I go, I bring life. And it's good that I heard what Jonathan said about when you know something's not right, not there yet. Actually, it's good to declare where you want it to be. Because when we declare where we want something to be, often we release something in ourselves to move in that direction. So it's good to say, wherever I go, I bring life. And so, you know, you think of God's blessing flowing like a river, flowed powerfully like a river. And it just wants to be breathing, blessing in life wherever it flows. But there are places where the blessing gets shut out. You know, and we're like a long tube and we've got an in and out. And if there's nowhere of the blessing flowing out of our lives, often there's no way of it coming in. It's just a picture I have in my head. Actually, we're supposed to be like a pipe. We're not supposed to be like a reservoir. We're supposed to be like a pipe of your blessing, letting it go as soon as we get it. Let it go. Give it away. Allow more in. Come on. Receive it. Receive it and give it. And Robert Morris tells this amazing story. It's, you know, because we're all called. I hope you know that. We're all called. We're all chosen. Not for salvation, because God wants every man and woman to be saved. We're all called to that. But he's called each one of us to be a particular blessing. He's made us. He's crafted our DNA in such a way and our upbringing in such a way that actually we're good for certain things. Every one of us. And we all have a calling and a destiny. And Robert Morris speaks of the way he found his calling and destiny, which was to release generosity over the church. And he tells this story. He was an itinerant preacher, a young man, married man. And he used to go and get his income by preaching at five or six times around the churches during a month. Not bad, we're living on the offerings. And he tells this story. One month, he had nothing in his diary apart from one visit. One engagement with a church. So he preached his heart out, did a powerful message. They took up a love offering for him. And the pastor comes over to him with a big smile at the end of the meeting and says, "Hey, Robert, you're a blessed man. Do you know what? We've just got a record offering this morning for you." So he hands him the check, and it was the complete amount he needed for his entire month. Praise God. That's fantastic, isn't it? Is that fantastic? Are you rejoicing with him? Yes, you rejoicing? Let's rejoice with those who rejoice. Now we're going to weep with those who weep. Because then he feels that, he looks across the room, his eye catches the eye, like I'm catching your eye, his eye catches the eye of a missionary that had been standing up and preaching before him. He stood up and told stories about what he was up to. And the Lord said, "I want you to give all that money you just received to the missionary." And he went, because we do that. I'm not here. Lord, is that really you? We can easily hear God if he's saying, "I bless you. I want you to receive." But when I say, I want you to give, he said, "Is that, can't be you, Lord?" No, it can't be. Can't be. It's been the answer to my prayers. You know, I've been praying about this. Must be Satan trying to steal it away. But this thing would not go. He knew it was the Lord. So he writes the missionary's name, like crosses his own name out and writes the missionary's name and goes over and hands the guy the check. Then there's this lunch afterwards. and he's sitting around a long table at a restaurant, and opposite him sitting a rather well-dressed man. And the guy says to him, hey Robert, how much was in the offering today? And he thought, cheeky git. You know, he didn't actually say that, but you know, he thought, gee, that's a bit personal, isn't it? How much did you receive in your pay packet this week, Jonathan? If I came up to you and said that, you might think I was a bit nosy. And so he was very nosy. And the trouble is, he was a slow thinker like I am. You know, when someone asked me to go forward and get prayed for salvation, I couldn't think of a good reason not to, so I went with them. And so he couldn't think of a good, quick answer out of it, so he just blurted out the amount, hoping that the conversation would die down. And then the guy said, show me the check. Of course, he knew he didn't have the check. And this is where he does what all good preachers do and lies. I don't have the check. My wife's got it. And she's over the other side of the restaurant, you know, safe distance away. So no problem. He said, go get it. Up he gets, strolls across the restaurant, bends down to his wife and, you're not my wife, but, you know, you'll do, Tony. And he says, have a nice pizza, dear. Enjoying your pizza? She looks at him as if he's a bit... He never does that normally. Yeah. So he then comes back and sits down. So he says, oh, I'm sorry, we left it in the car. And it's way over the other side of the mall. You know, so, you know, sorry, I can't show you it. And the guy says, you're lying, Robert. And he went... Everything inside him at that moment wanted just to shout at the guy. How dare you? I'm the preacher. How dare you? But he, of course, he knew that actually he was lying. Whilst he wanted to really rage against the guy, he just had to say, yeah, you're right. And the guy said, God told me that you gave it away. You don't have it. And then he said, God told me something else. And he slips him over an envelope over the table. And Robert opened it up and it was 10 times the amount of what he'd just given away. And he said this, he said, God is teaching you, Robert, about giving so that you can teach the body of Christ. And that's been his life's mission since. Since that time, Robert Morris has gone on to build a church, which is the second biggest church in the States, in Dallas, which I went to visit back end of last year. So, but that's phenomenal. Don't you just love it when God calls people in those remarkable ways to do stuff? That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And, you know, this is a subject that I haven't taught a lot on myself, but it is one that is dear to my heart. And I guess we have to teach on it occasionally, so I'm going to teach on it for the next 3 weeks. So I'm sorry about that in advance. But I think, you know, it's an amazing thing. When I became a Christian, I had no idea really about giving. Wasn't something I was taught, wasn't something I was brought up with. So when I became a Christian, after being a Christian for 6 weeks, Michael Hastings, then my pastor and a black guy, offers me an envelope, and in it is a standing order form. He says, Colin, you know, really, to be a good Christian, what you need to do is give 10% of your income to the church. I was a bit gobsmacked. I didn't realise I was signing up for that when I invited Jesus into my life to be my Lord, friend and saviour. Okay. And again, I was a bit slow. So I said to him, sure. I'm in debt at the moment, but, you know, I'm hoping to get out of debt this month and I'll give from January. And I was in debt and I started from January. And at that time, I was earning £900 a month. So my first tithe was 90 quid. And do you know, from that day to this, I've not been in debt. And, you know, at one level, you know, is that a consequence of that? I don't really know, but it's just the truth. So, I've seen God do amazing things with finance. Really quite phenomenal things. As I've adventured with Jesus, I've seen God do amazing things. I don't know if, you know, to walk a journey into a life of ministry in this country is not easy. It's not as easy as in some places. And so you do what you feel that God is asking you to do. And sometimes he asks you to do crazy things. So when I was living in Nepal, and you guys were kindly paying me 2 days a week to support me out there, and we came back, and I felt the Lord say that we were going to have I was going to do less IT work because I used to be an IT consultant. So I meet with Paul Turnbull, who was my then boss. I took him a sabbatical. And he says to me, I said to him, look, I want to do less work this year if possible. He said, well, Colin, the truth is you can either do full-time work or no work at all, because it's really tough at the moment in business. And I just came back from Nepal into the depression or into the recession. And he said, so there's not really an option for you to carry on the way you were doing part-time. So I said, okay, gulp. You know, if I'm going to be true to what I feel God is saying to me, I have to do no work. Okay. So Sadie was very gracious and accepted that as a possibility. And so with no work, and then for about 3 or 4 months, we lived, you know, camping out in someone else's house for most of that time, eventually moving back into our house and our money running out. And, you know, in the temperature in our house getting a little bit higher, a little bit more irritable, as financial pressures tend to do that to us. If we're honest, that's the truth. Financial strain is not easy to handle in a home. And so it was not easy. And then at Christmas time, just before Christmas, I remember in 2008, I get a phone call, and it's from my boss, my ex-boss now. And I was still on their books, but on zero salary. And he said, the shares that you had as being a director of the company, not in this company, but the ones we'd set up another company, were worth some money. And someone came in to buy them. That's amazing. Now, a few weeks earlier than that, a lady who'd been regularly praying for me came to me and said, Colin, you don't need to worry about money because God's going to make sure you get a 70 grand salary next year. I thought, bless. She really doesn't know how much church pastors get paid. She really has no idea. So, you know, and I have to be honest with you. I really thought she'd been eating too much cheese pizza. I really didn't take it as a word from the Lord. Shame on me. Absolute shame on me. Where is my faith? Where is my faith? Anyway, roll the clock on to a month and I get this phone call. And it turns out this guy is coming in to buy these shirts that were worth nothing. No one, they were just paper. And someone came in and paid us. So we had about £85,000, which after tax was just about £70,000. You know, God is amazing. God is amazing. So I tell you that story because stories are powerful. God continually surprises us with the way he provides for us. Oh dear. So, anyway. But living this best life is more than about reaping what you sow. It's more than about getting back a greater amount than you give. It's about living a blessed life. It's about living in a way that your life is blessed. There's a supernatural power of blessing, of good, working in our lives, as opposed to a supernatural power of cursing. And you know, some people seem to live with that. And so living a blessed life, we want to be in that place of blessing. And personally, I can look on my life and I just see favor and blessing. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. You know, I saw a Delta Scheme, a company that helped Paul Turnbull grow from 2 people in his spare bedroom to 34 people over a period of a few years. That was fun. That was great. It was a blessing. You know, another area, when we moved into Maidenhead in Cox Green, we're looking at schools and everyone was saying, don't send your kids to the local school. None of us do. No one living in our road ever did. We went and visited it. We quite liked the feel of it. It's in special measures at Ofsted. They were thinking of closing it down. There was a campaign trying to keep it going. But we sent Rachel there. We thought, it's the nearest school. It feels nice. It feels, love the atmosphere. We'll send Rachel there. Do you know, now it is in the top, I think, 6 schools in the country. Top 6 primary schools in the country. That's incredible. And I'm not claiming responsibility for that, but you know, I'm just saying that we are blessed. People are now buying houses in our area just so they can go to that school. It's ridiculous. We are blessed. We are blessed. You know, we went to Nepal, you know, within 1 year, missionaries can go to places and work for years and not be able to achieve an awful lot. You know, it can be hard, hard work. We go there and we're able to start two Bible schools, and actually, you know, a whole network of hundreds of churches say that we brought revival to them, you know, through the message that we preached. That is blessing, you know. That's phenomenal blessing. It's favor. I didn't deserve that. That is favor. That's blessing. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about leading a blessed life. So, okay. There's John. One day old. December the 24th, 2007. Patan Hospital, Kathmandu. Okay, quickly, Exodus 13:2. We'll read that. It says, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. It is mine," says God. And 12 and 13 says, "That you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all of the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." So, this is really important. The first belongs to God. And it's a total step of faith. You know, if your lamb, suppose you're a farmer, and if your lamb gives birth to a, no, your lamb, your sheep gives birth to a lamb, lambs don't often give birth. If your sheep gives birth to a lamb, for you to give it away requires quite a lot of faith. There's no guarantee that your sheep will have any more lambs. Is there? It's the first one. There is no guarantee you'll get any more. So it's a step of faith in that respect. And God is looking for us to take steps of faith. He's looking for us to get the first fruits of our income to actually say, okay, I'm going to trust you. What we're saying is, when we do that, it's, I trust you, Father. I trust you. Trust is a big deal with God. That's why he says in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's that sense of trust that brings so much to a relationship. To have any kind of decent relationship with someone, you need that trust. And so here's the Father saying, you know, trust me. Trust me. Give me the first, and I will bless the rest. It's a good deal, really, but it does require us to have faith. Can I really trust him? Or should I just hold back just to make sure I've got enough, and I'll give him what I don't need? That's the thing. So you go back to that time when I came back from Nepal. We could have said, actually, I need to hold on to this job. So I know what you said, Lord, but when we can see a way forward, when the church can pay us, that's when we'll stop work. But actually, no, that's what I've got. God's looking for faith. And if I'd have done that, I might never have got into ministry. I might never have worked it out. You know, and that's why when Jesus offered himself to the cross, it says he went to the cross while we were still sinners. He didn't go when we'd cleaned ourselves up, when he knew he had a whole host of followers. But for the joy that he could see it, he had faith that it would happen. He had faith if he hung on the cross and died, that people would be drawn to him. They would respect his love that he was pouring out. And actually that would win the hearts of men and women. That was his step of faith in the Father, and also that the Father would raise him, of course. So tithing is God's way of knowing, that our hearts are trusting him. It means giving to God before we know we've got enough. It says, I'm putting you first, Lord, and I'm trusting you to take care of the rest. It's a bit like church, really. You think about our week, what we do here on a Sunday morning. This is the beginning of the week, by the way. This is not the end of the week. Sunday morning is the beginning of the week. We're giving the first part of our week to the Lord, in the sincere belief that actually he's going to bless the rest. It's the same principle. The first part belongs to God. Given that, he will bless the rest. It's very, very straightforward. Take a moment to think about your week. When does it start? Does it start on Monday morning with your first deal, with the first telephone conversation? Does it start with taking the kids to school? Or does it start here and now this morning? Just think of, let's reframe our weeks, because the world would try and reframe our weeks to start on a Monday morning. We're not having that. We, you know, it was Christian kind of living that set the weekend as a principle. The Sabbath rest as a principle. Sunday is the first day of the week. We give it to the Lord. Really knowing that he's going to bless the rest because that's what he loves to do. Okay, Exodus 23, verse 39. How am I doing? Oh, better go quickly. 23:39, it says, the first fruits of the land, you know, you shall bring into the house of the Lord. This is about bringing the first fruits in. Now, it doesn't say to another charity or a good cause or even to feed the poor, whatever. It just says, bring your first fruits, the first fruits of your crops, of your increase, the first of your increase, that God blesses you with, bring it into the house of the Lord. And the Israelites were expected to give to the poor and to the needy and to care for strangers and the widows and orphans as well. But they were asked to bring their first fruits, their tithe, into the house of the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase, and so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This is important to the Lord. Again, and he teaches them over and over and over again. Give the first to the Lord. You go into the promised land and they get to Jericho, the first city they capture there. And the Lord says, devote it to me. Give it to me. All the wealth that you would have got from that, actually give it to me. And what happens? But they do honor that mostly. And I haven't got time to go into the difficult stories about what the conquest might raise in our heads right now. But let's just go with this one. They obey, but one man doesn't. Achan takes some. He keeps some of the gold and some of the clothes that he gets and stashes it in his tent for himself. What happens next? What happens next is, actually, they can't take any more land. They go to Ai and they get defeated. You see, Robert Morris says this. He says, the fact is, the first fruits are either consecrate the rest or they curse the rest. They're God's. We should give them to them anyway. If we give them, then they're actually, the rest is blessed. If we don't give, then actually the rest is cursed. Actually, we don't make the kind of gains that we thought we would make. That's why in Malachi it says, test me. You know, you rob me in tithes and offerings, look, he says. It's the same principle. It's the Lord's. It shouldn't even be a debate. The first part is the Lord's. We don't often get that. Follow the rule of first fruits. What would it mean, for instance, if we were starting a company and the first deal that we made, we gave the profit to the Lord? That's like the first fruits. You know, we don't tend to think that way, but actually, it's laid out pretty clearly in Scripture. Now, I want to move on because I've got to finish. Some of you are sitting there saying, Colin, this is Old Testament stuff. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And you know that I know that. Right, I hope. I think you know that I know that. You know, but the law never does away. Sorry, the grace never does away what was in the law. That's, you know, Jesus said, I haven't come to do away the law, I've come to fulfill it. So when he talks about the law, he says, you've heard it said in the law, you shall not commit murder. But I tell you, do not be angry. Even anger, it's the heart that's the issue, not the law. The law was only put in place to show you what's right and wrong, actually. But what I want you to want is your heart. So in the law it says, you know, don't commit adultery. And that's a pretty naughty thing to do. But now I tell you, don't even look at a woman lustfully. Because again, it's the heart. And it's the same principle, you know, with giving. In the law, it was to give 10%. It was to give the first part to the Lord. But that was just to teach us good principles so we could live in a way of blessing. Because you know, how many murderers live in the way of blessing? How many? You don't. How many adulterers live in the way of blessing? They don't. How many liars live in the way of blessing? They don't. You know, it's the same, but the same thing. When we don't walk in generosity, because tithing, the heart response to God is generosity. And when we don't walk in that, we cut off that flow of blessing I was talking about, that river of blessing, we step out of the way of blessing. And God wants to bless every single one of us here. You know, and I'm not standing here saying that, you know, I want you all guys to give more. I hope you know that, okay? I really would, if you respond to this message, I'd rather you give it to another church in the town. I really would. Because I'm not here to, I really don't want your money. God has blessed us. God is blessing us. And, you know, last year giving went up. The church has responded so well. You know, I'm really grateful. This year we've had some lovely gifts from people. But this is about you and God and blessing. This is about God's wanting to bless each and every family in this church. Each and every one of us, He's wanting to bless. You know, God doesn't need our money. I like what Bono said. You know, my God ain't short of cash, mister. The cattle on a thousand hills are His. You know, He doesn't need our money, but He wants us to walk in the way of blessing. And generosity is a key to walking in blessing. The real question is, who's first in our lives? That's the real question. And Jesus talked a lot about money. You need to know that. We don't talk about it anywhere near as much as Jesus talked about it. Jesus talked about it 16 out of His 38 parables. Just imagine if we did that. 16 out of our 38 sermons in the year were on money. You guys might get a bit fed up. But that's how often Jesus... But the reason is, you see, money is an amazing... What we do with our finance, what we do with the things we have, is a tremendous indicator of what's going on in our heart. Simple as that. And God wants our hearts to be free. Free. To know Him as Father. To know He is our provider. To know He is caring for us. To know He really is wanting to bless. And that requires trust to grow, requires us to test Him. We'll go on to that next time, looking at that, what that means. We'll pick up where we've left off. But today, you know, people just want to us to examine our own hearts. Because I know that some hearts would have been angry with me this morning for talking about money, or a bit agitated. And there are others that the Holy Spirit is really ministering to right now. So let's just open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to speak to us in this whole area. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are two ways that we can respond to this. You know, I want us to respond. I feel that the Holy Spirit is asking me to pray for. One is, for those that maybe haven't tested God in this way before, and God says, you can test me in this. Try giving. Try it. Just try it. Try giving the first part to me and actually see what happens to the rest. Just see it. Just try it. Because I want to bless you. And the other is for those, there are some here who have been faithfully giving and faithfully being generous and actually needing a sign of His blessing in their lives right now. And actually looking for a breakthrough in finance or needing a job or needing to see His provision in some way. And if you want to respond to either of those two messages, either of those two things, would you please stand now? Because we want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you. If you're sitting next to someone who's stood, please stretch out your hands to them. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's use our voices. Because our voices, we represent heaven, guys. Every single one of us sitting here represents heaven. Let's use our voices to bless those who have stood. Come on. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you for those that have stood, Lord Jesus. And I just want to declare your blessing over them today. I want to declare your favor over them today, Lord God. It's just as Julian said about let hope arise, Lord God, let your favor arise afresh on them today, Lord God. Let them see an evidence of your favor on their lives right now, Lord God, right today, this very day, Father. Let them see that your hand is with them. Let them know that you're with them. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are responding, Lord God, actually to give for the first time. We want to pray for those, Lord God, that have struggled in this area. Actually, I want to thank you for their hearts that are responding to you. And as they test you in it, Lord God, bless them, I pray. Let them see your hand at work in their lives, bringing jobs, bringing provision, bringing favor, letting everything that their hand touches be blessed. And for those, Lord God, that have been faithfully giving, Lord Jesus, and are struggling at this very moment, needing some provision from your hand, Lord God, we cry out to you as our Father. Lord God, we know your intent is to bless. And we prophesy it, saying you will bless them, Lord God. They're going to receive what they need, Lord Jesus, because you are a generous Father. You are a generous Father. So we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in their lives, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the provision that's coming this week, Lord God, into their lives. We pray favor on them, financial favor. We pray, Lord God, those offers of jobs that to come, Lord God, the right jobs to come, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for finance, unexpected gifts to come to them in the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I see God doing for you guys. I see it. Just as I got that unexpected, first of all, the phone call, I refused to believe in my unbelief. And yet God then delivered that favor over me. I release that favor over you, the financial favor of the Lord over you today. God is going to provide for you in ways you do not know, ways you cannot imagine. Paul, I particularly feel that for you. You can't think this one through, mate. You cannot think it through. God is going to surprise you. He's going to give you stuff in a way that you thought, that's just amazing. It's going to bless your heart. It's going to be so for you. It's going to be so for you. You can't think of it. Don't even bother trying to think how he's going to do it. He's going to do it because he loves you. He loves you.